Good to see everyone out. Good to be back in the house of the Lord and welcome each one to New Harmony Baptist Church. Exciting day. It's our shoebox day that we had a packing party Wednesday night and wound up, I think we had 103 shoeboxes so far. So we will be bringing those to the front, praying over them here in a little bit. So I'd like to thank everyone for providing all the stuff it takes to fill those with, and a lot of work put behind it, and we figured out everything goes a lot smoother out there with all the space. We was able to pack those 100 in no time Wednesday night, so thank everyone that came and helped, and ask you to be praying, not just today, but as they go out, that God would really touch them, and I know He will. Prayer request-wise, mentioned some in Sunday school. Gary Cadle lives down in Abel. His granddaughter has cancer, 1 year old. So he asked that she be put on a prayer list. Remember her? I'll get her name in a minute. It's in my phone. Cannot remember. I think it's Allie Anthony is her name, but I will make sure of that and get the spelling right on it. But Gary works for the state of Alabama. He used to be over the way station out here on the interstate. No, he's still with the state. Not sure what he does now. So y'all remember her. We got a family up in Tallapoosa. Went through a tough time this week. Had some death, and so I ask you to remember them, friends of ours. Do we have any more prayer requests? Any I don't know about that we need to mention? Yes, I forgot about Randall's family. Saw where the boy guy is doing a lot better. I think he's off the ventilator and all. So praise the Lord for that. A lot of prayer went up. He's a great example when never give up hope. There's always hope. Any others? No others. We're going to ask our youth to go ahead and be collecting the boxes. Bring them to the front, and we'll have our prayer for our prayer requests and our boxes. And so, youth, don't be shy. That can be older youth too, if you want to help. Thank you.
Good morning. Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. You were mighty to
Jesus, I'm undone by the goodness
of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but goodness. Tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? The love of God gave me His pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God pulls me up higher. He's a little stronger. That's why I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus.
God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through the raging storm. Don't worry over thunder. You're not going under. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it for the Master's on board. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through the raging storm. Don't worry over thunder. You're not going under. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it for the Master's on board. Stay fast. You have Jesus on board. No storm has ever troubled our Lord. No one knows what life's gonna bring. But you're safe. You are a child of the King. So I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. By the grace of God, I'll wear a shining. Someday I'll keep holding on to His nail-scarred hands. I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on, going on. You gotta hold to God's unchanging hand. Over thunder, you're not going under. said you're gonna make it. God 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 said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it for the Master's own glory.
Amen. Good singing this morning. I started to join in. Messed the whole thing up. It's good to, I said this morning, good to be back in the house of the Lord. Excited about every single day we get. And of course, this time of year coming up is a very exciting time of Thanksgiving coming up and Christmas coming up. And not only is it exciting for us, it's hard on a lot of people. So I ask you to pray for those who have lost loved ones and don't have their loved ones, of course, around them, for whatever means that may be. I forgot one special prayer request this morning. Our oldest member, Miss Pat, has coronavirus. She's positive, and she's not sick. I hope she's listening, but she's not sick. She's she said the hardest part was going to be not be able to see me for 10 days. That's what I told her, and she said that wasn't going to be that hard. But y'all remember Pat and pray that she doesn't get sick. Andy had a little sinus infection, I think, and Pat had a little fluid in her ears and stuff, but not seriously sick. So thank God for that, and y'all remember her. Bree come in this morning and wanted to tell me at the back door that they got their Who's Who results back at school, and you're not going to guess what she got. Most words per minute. I asked her, was that typing? She said, no talking. Said she couldn't type anything, and I'm in there with her. But I would like to pick on her, but she can talk. Thanks be to God for that. He'll use it for some good. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 30 through 31. This is, again, a very familiar story. And I've had this thought this week of being at the feet of Jesus. Again, looking at several things and wondering what it really means to be at the feet of Jesus. Obviously, today, Jesus is not on earth physically. So what does it mean to us today to be at the feet of Jesus? And if you study about the times that they was living in Bible times, and when anyone was going to learn, they was at the feet of the master, the teacher, the pupil was at their feet. They were sitting down while the master sat on something or whatever the case was to be, but the pupils or the learners would be out in front of them, sitting down, attentive to what was going on. And I believe that's the message we have today. And I wrote down several different things that's found at the feet of Jesus. But one thing's for certain is everything that's found there is for our good, it's for our learning, and it's to help us to make it. And we miss out a lot of times about being at the feet of Jesus. We're given opportunity, even today, to still be there, because when you see what was going on in every instance where they were at the feet of Jesus, he was talking. And you see, we have the words right here. We have the words. We have the exact words that he was teaching. We still have today in recorded form, so we can stay at the feet of Jesus. This Matthew chapter 15, verse 30-31, I'm going to read, and then we will get started. It said, a great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed to hold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Father, we thank you today for this scripture. God, we ask you for just a little bit that we would understand what it really means to be at your feet, and that, God, we would be willing to spend more time to be there and see the importance of being at your feet, of being able to listen to you. And God, we ask you to be with us today. Open our hearts and minds. And these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's ever a time in history, and I probably say this every Sunday, but I'll continue to say it, that we need to be at the feet of Jesus, it's right now. We need some understanding. We need some learning. We need some direction. And you'll find it no better place than at the feet of Jesus. The very Son of God, He taught. And when He taught, people began to listen. If you'll remember, when He was 12 years old, He went missing. He was in the temple. And He was teaching the people even then. And my friend, there's nothing more that you can learn than learning from the one who everything is about. And that is, if you want to learn about something, then you must go to the one who created it, I believe. I read a story just the other day, and it was on Billy Graham's daily devotional page. It said this gentleman was driving his car, and his car quit on him. And I don't know if it was all true because it was a Ford. But they said he was driving his car, and his car quit on him. And he went outside. He was outside messing on the hood, and up beside him pulled this Lincoln, brand new Lincoln. And out stepped this tall man in a suit, and he raised the hood on the Ford, and he messed with a few things, and he told him, he said, try it now. So the gentleman reached in, turned the switch. Sure enough, the car cranked ran perfectly. He introduced himself, and he said, I'm Mr. So-and-so, and he said, Henry Ford. He said, what did you do? He said, well, I created it. I know what makes it tick. You see, that was in Billy Graham used that for devotional to get us to understand that if we want to learn how to do something, then we must go back to the one who created. And Jesus created everything. The Bible says without Him was nothing made. And what better place can we learn than at the feet of Jesus? But number one, at the feet of Jesus, there is healing. If you saw in chapter number 15, verse number 30, it says that they brought all kinds there. Listen, it says, and great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame and blind. And listen, what an example this is for us to bring those to Jesus. We are to bring every problem we have or everyone that has a problem, and that is all of us. We covered that in Sunday school, that we found out in Sunday school this morning. I don't know if you know this, but you know we are a messed up bunch of people. The writer called us dysfunctional. And brother, he is right. We are all dysfunctional people. We all have a problem. We all have a sickness. We all have something wrong with us. And we need brought to the feet of Jesus. But here they brought the sick, the maimed, the deaf, the dumb. They brought them all to the feet of Jesus. And you know what I loved about this? It didn't say that He cast them out. It didn't say that He picked out one that was pretty. It didn't say that He picked out a white one or a black one or a yellow one or a red one. It didn't say He picked out a rich one or a poor one. It said that He healed them all. Ain't that great this morning that He didn't pick out any favorites. He healed every single one of them. And now listen, I know that we're going through a national or a worldwide pandemic and a lot of people stand in need of healing physically this morning. But may I tell you that even if they are healed of coronavirus or they are healed of cancer or whatever the means may be, one day, Lord tarries He's coming, those people will die. They're going to die. And at that point, they will need something more that's more important than physical healing. They will need spiritually healing. And listen, Jesus offered that to every single person that He ever healed physically. You'll see He tells them to go and sin no more. He was worried about their spiritual condition, and He used a physical condition to reach the spiritual condition in every case. But listen, I'm speaking right now about physical healing. Does Jesus heal? Absolutely He heals. Now listen, He does not choose to heal. It's not His will to heal every circumstance. Every person that we bring to Him and that we have on our prayer list and all these, all of them will not be healed. I don't understand it. I don't know why that is today, why He chooses. I know why He does it, because it's His will and His way is perfect. But we are to bring them all to Him. And the Bible says in James chapter 5:14, this is what it says about being sick. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. This is scriptural this morning to want to call upon the church to pray for you. And friend, it's not bad, and people don't do it anymore. And I don't know why they don't. It's still in the Bible here. But if you are sick, it is completely biblical to ask the church to pray over you, to lay hands on you, and to anoint you with the Spirit of God. This is completely logical, and it should be used today. Maybe we have more that's not healed because we're not doing it right. But it's right here. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them touch them. Now listen, I've told you this, that He cared about their spiritual condition, and He did. But He also cares deeply about our physical conditions. How do I know that? Because He says, I came to give them life and give it more abundantly. He wants you to live an abundant life. He wants you to live a life that is whole, that is without sickness and all these things. And listen, though, you know what brought this sickness into our land? It's called sin. It's the cause for everything bad is sin. Now listen, we know it's not as always His will to heal, but many that He did heal and all that He healed was made spiritually whole. We see every instance in the Bible. I believe that not only they was made physically whole, they was made spiritually whole, and that is what we are in need of this morning. I believe this verse teaches us and this scripture teaches us that we can bring all to Him, whether it be physical sickness, whether it be an addiction to something, or whether it be that they just simply are a sinner in need of a Savior. My friend, I tell you today that each one of us inside this building is in need of one thing cured, and that is the thing called sin. You cannot do it yourself. The Bible says that we all are unrighteous. There's none good, no, not one. We stand in need of a spiritual healing, and that only comes from Jesus Christ. At His feet, there is healing. Number two, there is peace at the feet of Jesus. Luke chapter 8, verse 35. I've thought about this man right here a lot. You see, this was one that in this day that we're living in even, this man was saw as something that he put in an institution somewhere and forgotten about. This is one that this holds a spot that's hard to deal with even today. This man was mentally ill. He had mental problems. He had a problem with his mind. Listen to what this verse says. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This man who, if you've read the story, he was there in the Gadarenes and he cut himself and he walked around. They even had to chain him at times. And this man, it looked like he had absolutely no hope, but bless God, that was before he met Jesus. And I want to tell you something today. We have so many that's in need of this same thing that people will look over and they'll say, well, he's just crazy, or his mind's bad. Let's just let him go where he needs to go. My friend, once this man contacted Jesus, there was peace in his life. He had never known peace before. He cut himself with rocks. And we see people doing that today. They cut themselves in the wrist. They cut themselves in other places. They've done something for their mind. I don't understand it. But listen, I know it's real. And I know these people stand in the same need this man did. They stand in need of some peace. And there was peace at the feet of Jesus. Peace. I'm talking about this man went from being a complete lunatic to sitting down and acting like he had always been whole. And that was because he had been made a brand new creature. We all desire peace. You see, we all desire peace. It's built in us to want to desire to have a peace. And listen, you will not find any peace outside of Jesus Christ. You won't find any. We're trying right now. Our country's going through a great racial divide that is made worse by the media, making it more so than it is many times. And it takes people who wasn't racist and it begins making them racist. And we all desire to have peace. And brother, if we all desire the peace we say we want, it is found at the feet of Jesus. I don't care what color you are. If you can come together and agree that Jesus is Lord, He is King of Kings, and He loves all, and He died for all, there should not be any reason for any division. There is peace at the feet of Jesus. But you see, we use it for an excuse. We say, oh, we want peace. We put all these things, it's got to line up. We think to have peace, and we've got to have this person present, this person in this right place, and this person doing this, and this one didn't this, and all this kind of stuff, when the fact of the matter is, this man found peace at the feet of Jesus. Bring them all to Him. We desire peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Brother, that's talking about some real real peace. I'm talking about not only a peace that you get along with everybody. I'm talking about a peace that when you lay your head on your pillow at night, you know that everything is okay. Because if you don't wake that morning, you know that you're right beside your Savior, and He has a place prepared for you, and that we know that's there. But listen, how great is it once we really, really understand that there is peace at the feet of Jesus? Remember where you find this peace? Feet of Jesus now is right here. That's where you learn. That's where you are taught. You want peace for any situation, you get into the Word of God and you will find it. You want peace in your relationships, it's right here. You want peace in our church, well, it's right there. You want peace in your community, it's in there. You want peace in all nations, hey, it's in there. And it all points back to being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And brother, you will find peace. The only place in the world that there is true peace is at the feet of Jesus. The only place. Next, there is hope at His feet. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 41 and 47. It says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet." Now let me tell you a little bit about this man. He had a daughter that was laying dying. And this is what come to my mind about the man I met this week that has a granddaughter that's 1 year old that has cancer. And there's many others in our hearing right now that has those that has cancer or that have coronavirus in ICUs on ventilators and different things. And you know what we're told a lot of times? Well, there's no hope. There's no hope. But listen, somewhere, old Jairus had heard about a man named Jesus. And Jairus had heard that at the feet of Jesus there was healing. And Jairus had heard at the feet of Jesus there was peace. And Jairus had heard at the feet of Jesus there lay some hope. Now, my friend, we think that our world is gone. We think our country is gone. And all this stuff, may I tell you that as long as Jesus is alive and on the throne, there is hope. There is hope in our nation. There is hope in our world. There is hope in your circumstances. And do not give up until the end is gone and all is gone. And then you will find that Jesus is still in control. And my friends, you'll never find that there's not any hope anywhere but Jesus Christ. He is hope. But this man fell at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house. Boy, what if we all did that? For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could any could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and fell down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. We see two people in this story that had no hope. There was no hope. Jesus was their last hope. Somebody had told them about Jesus. They had heard all the rigmarole going around town. They had heard all the hoopla about who this was. And they had to go see for themselves. And listen, this was their last option of hope. And today there is many who is on their last strand that you don't even know about. I told a story several times this morning. The guy I used to work with, saw him every day or every week. He'd come in, get his truck, be gone 3 or 4 days at a time. But he would call me through the week. This man, his son was going through depression. They said he had mentioned about killing himself, and he went to this other man's house to get the gun and went home. And that evening, the man got off work. He went to see about him and to get his gun back so he didn't harm himself. And the boy shot him 3 times. Shot his dad. You know what? That young man didn't see no hope. Why he did what he did, I don't know. But he saw there was no hope. And people are, Keith mentioned someone this morning that committed suicide last week that they knew. You know why they think there was any hope? No hope. There's people all around that thinks they don't have any hope. The cancer ministry we set up is called the Journey of Hope. And listen, we understand that a lot of them people that's on that journey will not be healed of their cancer. We know that. And boy, I saw it all too real last year. My mother passed on December the 15th. I understand that. But listen, the one thing we must give them is there is hope. And listen, there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope that their body may be healed. If it's not healed, there lies something much greater, and that's eternity with Him. There is hope. There's hope, and the world needs hope. And brothers, it is only found at the feet of Jesus. There's no other place you can find it. The most miserable people you'll run into in the world, and the most dangerous people that you'll run into the world, in the world, are those that have no hope. Those that don't think there's no other way. There's no hope. Many people, I say this a lot through this time of year. Y'all hear me say it every year. From Thanksgiving until Christmas, there is people who commit suicide because they are depressed and they are ashamed about getting help. And maybe somebody here right now that stands in need of help, brother, you go get that. I don't care what anybody says about you. Do what you have to do. But most of all, I want you to understand today that there is hope at the feet of Jesus Christ. There is hope. Rudy said something. Rudy don't know how much he says sometimes that I think about. We was talking about suicide one day, and Rudy said something that makes a lot of sense to me. He said, suicide is an eternal solution to a temporary problem. Y'all know Rudy was that smart. He's a philosopher. But that made a lot of sense to me. There is hope. There is hope. This man and woman didn't see any hope. This was their last chance at hope. Think about this. I know the timeline might not line up. But what if this old boy named Lazarus happened to tell Jairus about hope? What about this old boy named Lazarus was told this woman about hope? You see, Lazarus, there was no hope. He had been in the grave for 3 days, and surely there wasn't any hope for Lazarus. But my friend, what made a difference in Lazarus' life is what makes a difference in my life, in your life, is that Jesus called him out. Called him by name. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus was alive. They unloosed him. Cut the grave clothes off and gave him something to eat. You see, when there's no hope, think about Lazarus. No hope. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. The hope. We have a hope, and He is an anchor. Jesus Christ. He's an anchor for our soul. Everything we hope is in Him. It's not a hope my car crank, or it's not a hope it don't rain this afternoon. It is a steadfastly, an unmovable anchor that this hope we have has moved into the veil, and He has taken away the whole sins of the world, and He's made your way straight and my way straight. It's nothing I have done or you can do. It's only by the hope we have in Jesus Christ. There's hope at the feet of Jesus, and we got to move on. There is hearing at His feet. Luke chapter 10, verse 39. I probably didn't put this in there, did I? Luke 10, 39. This is about Mary and Martha. See if I can turn over here right quick. I want to make sure I get it right. Luke 10, 39. Very familiar. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Hearing at the feet of Jesus. You see, I told you when we started this morning that in that time the pupil would sit at the feet of the teacher and they would learn. You see, we love to hear about the healing. We love to hear about the peace. We love to hear about the hope. And we love to hear about all these things that we think is miraculous, and it is miraculous. But listen, the one thing we look over is that there is hearing, there is understanding at the feet of Jesus. She heard what He said. You see, when at the feet of Jesus, when you're close to Him, the Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh unto you. You come near the feet of Jesus, brother, you will begin learning. You will begin hearing and the hearing will begin changing your life. Her sister was working feverishly to prepare that meal, and here she sat at the feet of Jesus. And listen, who got condemned for anything? It would have been the one who was striving to do more and more and more. And Jesus is telling us in the scripture, there's times we need to simply sit at the feet and listen. Listen. The word teaches us. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see, the word he was teaching was the word he was. That's hard for our minds to understand, but he was teaching what he was. He was the word. He is the word. He's the very fulfillment of the word. He made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Stay near to hear. Stay near the feet of Jesus. His word only changes things. You see, anybody else in that whole room could have talked about some things of God that wasn't the Word of God. He was the Word of God. And the Word of God is still the only thing that can change men, women, boys and girls today is the Word of God. It's not that I speak about the Word of God and that I preach about my opinion sometimes of the Word of God. It is the true Word of God that changes any situation. When He speaks, things happen. Lastly, there's worship at his feet. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and beheld him by the feet and worshiped him. I believe this is where the reason they was doing this, and me and you will do it too when we figure this one thing out. You've got to figure out who you are. You've got to figure out who he is. And that only comes through an enlightening of the Holy Spirit of God. It shows you who you are. It shows you who he is and what he did for you. We learned this morning in our Sunday school lesson that even a dysfunctional family can't upset the plans of God. And you'll find out that if you study the Word of God that you are dysfunctional. You're messed up. You're in need of something because you ain't got it figured out. You may think you have it all together, and some people look like they have it all together, and inside they're all to pieces. But listen, when you figure out who he is, then there'll be a difference made in your life, and you'll fall at his feet. The Bible tells us, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. You see, every single person is going to be at the feet sometime. Every single person. It says every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Oh, what blessing and mercy is offered to us right now to be able to come freely to the feet of Jesus. Not only is there healing and there's peace and there's hope and we can hear his words. But listen, I think what misses out in our churches is the worship at the feet of Jesus. I'm talking about true worship. That means to put one above yourself. That means to humble yourself on the ground before one who is greater than you. And listen, we at a time when it seems not rational to do that. Because I've been taught that I have to have a self-esteem. I have to have a great ego about myself. Listen, none of that hurts anything. But brother, spiritually, you must understand that there is one above you, and his name is Jesus, and he is worthy to be worshipped. At his feet. You see, in that day, which feet are still pretty nasty, but in that day, feet was really, really nasty. They would walk on dirt roads. They would walk through roads that animals had to do what was natural on, and they'd have to walk and then pass. Wouldn't running water as we've got now, their feet would be real dirty. Wouldn't the good shoes we have now. And oh, to be at those feet was a thing of humbleness. Humbleness. That's what we need today, is an humble heart of worship toward the Lord and Savior. I put a little question here, and I don't want him to answer this myself. Are you there? Are you at the feet of Jesus? I'm talking about close enough you can hear him teach. Close enough you have peace. Close enough that you have hope. Close enough that you're worshiping. You see, we can't make this up on our own. We think we want to make our Christian life up as I want it to be. I want it when I want it. When I don't want it, I don't want it. That's how we want to do this thing. If you're going to be the Christian that God has called you to be, and that means the word Christian means Christ-like, you must be at the feet of Jesus. Are you there? Are you there this morning? Pat, of course, is missing today. But if y'all will, I know we've been doing this last several weeks, and I like it. If everyone would to come up, we'll end in prayer, and then we'll have our announcements, and then we'll be done. If everyone would to come up. I want you to think about this as you're coming up here and as you're going through next week. Are you at the feet of Jesus?